My abstract was titled Out of the Ashes, Post American Civil Society and the Promise of Gender Equality. And I have a set of slides, and I'm going to try to very quickly talk through the slides. But I wanted to just start with just a short little anecdote about what kind of pushed me to start a project to study what I think of as the new Sikh American institution, particularly that we see a flurry of activity after 9/11. So on August 9th, 2012, I attended a candlelight vigil for the victims of Oak Creek Gurdwara shooting that had occurred just a few days before. I was in Houston, Texas with my daughter, visiting my brother and his family. That evening, we walked to the steps of the city hall to join a crowd of about 500 people. I was struck by the meditative mood that hung in the warm evening air. Parents stood quietly next to their children, solemnly nodding, and friends that were moving through the crowd, almost everyone held a candle in hand, ready to be lit. The program began with a short speech by a local Sikh leader named Bobby Singh, who spoke of the confluence of Sikh and American values, including, among other things, a commitment to the peaceful practice of faith, equality, and in particular, Bobby Singh emphasized equality between men and women, and justice. As I stood in the crowd listening to other faith leaders speak, I was struck by the shared message of peace, equality, and justice. While the evening was inspiring, I couldn't shake off a feeling of cynicism as I listened to yet another speech in which another public proclamation, rather, of the Sikh belief in the equality of men and women. That statement, which I had heard countless times before, seemed hollow in the face of what a real cultural marginalization, neglect, and violence experienced by far too many Sikh women and girls around the world. So this presentation explores what I think of as post-9/11 Sikh American politics and ethics and the emergence of a Sikh American civil society. I will discuss intersections of gender, class, faith, and diasporic subjectivity that are reflected in an expanding Sikh American civil participation. In particular, I'll explore the roles of Sikh American women in these institutions. My main question is whether the emergence of a Sikh American civil society represents a space for creative agency by Sikh American women. And I want to credit another anthropologist named Marla Fredericks, who studied black women and the church and their role in the church and in the civil rights movement, but she uses this concept of creative agency, and I just thought that it was a very interesting idea. So I'd like to apply that to this very, what for me is a very exciting time for the Sikh community, even though it was born out of some really tragic circumstances. Much of this discussion is based on preliminary findings from ethnographic research that I'm just starting, and I have to, like others before me, this is a caveat. I've really just started diving into interviews, but I've been thinking about this for a long time. And in fact, you know, my research was really started, I started pushing myself into this research after I started participating in a project called the Sikh Love Stories Project. And then later on, and also just through volunteerism, doing things like having voter registration drives at our local Gurdwara and working for some of the new institutions that I'm going to describe today. So that's how I kind of came to this project. So in this first slide, which was produced by the Sikh Coalition, which is a famous, you know, civil rights institution in the country, the slide is introducing who are the Sikhs. And I thought this slide was really interesting because well, for a number of reasons. One is that when I talk of civil society today, for Sikh Americans, a big part of civil society is the demand of civil rights. And so the language and discourse of civil rights is a key element for how Sikhs are engaging with people outside of the Sikh community, that is, with non-Sikh Americans, or as Anne Murphy has said, whites, essentially. And to some extent, we are really, a lot of our discourse is really directly engaged at whites, but That could be debated. So all I would like you to think about as you look at this slide is how, although this slide is obviously trying to ask this question and answer it through the photographic images for non-six. In other words, the slide is proclaiming who the six are by presenting these images of who's six, a number of six, male and female, young and old. I think that what's behind this slide is a more reflexive and creative space in which six are not just answering the question, but are actually actively asking themselves, who are the six? Who are we? And how are we, in this current moment of history, post 9/11, in North America, in America, a space in which civil society is vibrant and diverse, how is this shaping us as six, our sense of psyche? So for me, this question is, again, both outwardly looking, in other words, they're answering the question, but behind the scenes is a lot of interesting negotiation and what I think is space for what could be contentious and angry, but also very positive, a space for kind of creative self-definition. So what are some of these new institutions, what are they trying to do? And in this next slide, you see an event that was organized by an organization called the Sudeth Initiative in 2013 called Turban Day. I find this slide really interesting too. I mean, on the face of it, the purpose of the slide is very much a kind of civil engagement, that is an engagement with the public that's very creative and performative. And as an anthropologist, it's really interesting to me because it's asking the public, these random people who walk through the park, who are getting turbans tied on their head, to kind of, you know, look at Sikhism for a moment, from the walk in the shoes of a Sikh. In other words, what in anthropology we call the emic or the insider perspective on what it means to be a Sikh. So it's a very kind of creative and interesting way to kind of define who Sikhs are and then to engage the public about this. But I also think that the Turban Day also in some kind of ways, maybe intentionally or unintentionally, has become kind of reified in a lot of these new institutions. In other words, the turban has become almost conflated with what it means to be a Sikh. And that's understandable at one level, but at another level, it's problematic to some extent. Because then where does it leave many Sikhs who maybe are not wearing turbans, whether they're men or women, and so that it answers some questions, but then it also creates a space that's not being kind of acknowledged. And I wanted to, people have written about the whole question of the turban as being racialized. Here I'm pointing to work done by Jaideep Singh, and also some very interesting work done by a woman named Rita Verma, who's studied the kind of struggles of young boys with their turbans in New York City, especially in the post 9/11 period. But again, it's something that is one space in which we have to ask, well, what is the place of Sikh women in this new civil society, in this kind of public discourse and public engagement? I just kind of wanted to define how I'm studying this question and who I'm studying. So who are this group of people that I'm really interested in talking to are people that I call institution builders. And who are they for the most part? For the most part, the institution builders are not coming from every segment of Sikh society. Sikhs, even in the United States, are quite diverse across class and generation and immigration experiences. So I don't want to conflate my talk with as representative of all Sikhs. So most of the institution builders, many of them are kind of first generation that is born or at least raised outside of India. They tend to be from kind of college students to middle-aged professionals. So they're younger a little bit. Most of them are English speaking, that is fluency. They have at least fluency or English is their first language. They tend to be upper middle class in terms of education and professional background. What's interesting is that in terms of within, I only did a cross section of about five or six big sick institutions, but in terms of the people who are running these institutions, there seem to be an equal number of men and women, but I'm going to kind of unpack that in a few minutes about what does that mean about the place of women in that. And then there's also this kind of tech fluency. In other words, much of the civil society work that's being done by SICKS is being done online. And that's very interesting, but then that also leaves out a portion of our community who may not be involved in this kind of civil society work and in these institutions directly. So I also want to mention, you know, why I call this, my approach to studying this moment of the Sikh diaspora, I'm using a term and I'm just trying it out, so if you hate it, we can talk about it. I don't know if it'll work or not, but I think, it occurred to me that, to me, when I've been looking at these organizations, the word that popped up to me was really this idea of curating. And curating, everyone understands what curating is. What people do in museums, that, you know, they put together a display in order to send a particular message. And the display can be very accurate and representative. It's not to suggest that it's not, but there's an intention behind it, an intentional message, and an intentional force behind it. And so I like the word curating because I am interested in this concept of creative agency. Having said that, the curation isn't being done in a historical vacuum, right? I mean, SICKS are responding to real threats to them from the public, which they are responding to by presenting a kind of very interesting and curated image of themselves through these organizations. So that's the whole concept of curating. So I can go over a little typology. What do I mean by Sikh American Civil Society really quickly? I'm dividing it up into these types of groups: civil rights and legal advocacy, academic studies, Sikh studies chairs, educational groups that are two types. One, a number of educational groups that are focused on the community internally, that is teaching young people what does it mean to be a Sikh. Another type is focused on educating Americans about who Sikhs are. And I think those two things are very different types of project. Youth groups are very interesting. Family services for Sikhs. Blogs and self-expression. This is huge, and I haven't even touched the tip of the iceberg on this. There are so many blogs out there and so many really wonderful creative ways in which people are testing their own identity and you know, presenting it in this very aesthetic way, as Nikki Gunan and Benji talked about earlier. I really love that. There's a kind of Renaissance feeling about all of that. And then, of course, feminist forums like the one that we're in today. So I just wanted to point out one other thing, and then I'm going to summarize really quickly. This is, to me, I started off my discussion with my personal experience at the vigil. After that vigil, I thought, you know, I really need to start doing this. So I really got myself organized and started doing some interviews and stuff. But one of the things that I think is really interesting about the vigil as a form of expression and civil society by SICKS is that it is so American. That it is a way, that's why when I think about Sikh American Civil Society, I want to think about it as Sikh American Civil Society, as Sikh American Civil Society, because I think there's a combination of things. And I think it's important for us to recognize the ways in which, that the way that Sikhs are responding to the post-9/11 period, in many ways, is very, very American. We're using tools like vigils, the typical kind of civil rights types of tools to promote our community, to protect our community, to educate Americans about who we are, and to fight for the things that are very Sikh, right? Our commitment to fight for justice, our commitment in equality, in humanity, and hopefully, which is how I started the talk, our commitment to gender equality. And I'm going to go 1 minute over my time, I'm sorry, because I have to get to my punchline. So my punchline is that although I am very, very optimistic, that my one thing that concerns me about this new space, this new civil society, is that even though there are a lot of women there in that running these organizations, I'm really concerned that their issues are really not there. And so what these civil societies represent for Sikhs, at least from my perspective as of this point, is really the public face of Sikhi for the outside world. But when it comes to what's happening within the community and the problems we have in the community, that has been something that has not been part of this new institution building. And I really fear that it's really women, as well as Sikhs who represent more working class backgrounds, new Sikhs who may not be fluent in English, whose issues are not as much represented in this new civil society institution building. And I like others, really, really hope that this will change. And I'll give one last example, which is that this past May in California, a young woman named, Baljinder Kaur, I think, was acquitted of charges of murder because she had attacked her mother-in-law and killed her in Yuba City about 2 years ago. She was acquitted, and in her case, there was no support from any of the Sikh civil society institutions. She did get legal support from two Sikh women who in her defense, got her acquittal, and she committed this crime in the context of severe emotional and physical abuse that she had suffered for years, and a lot of pressure by her mother-in-law to abort her baby, because she had already had a daughter, and there was a big concern that she was going to have another daughter. And she basically snapped and killed her mother-in-law, and then afterwards, was acquitted because of the circumstances under which it happened. But these great institutions, which I wholeheartedly support, were silent on this issue, and that breaks my heart. But thank you.
Thank you.